listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
1, 2. Check. On radio 3.
Yep, there we are. So I think Dell was in here before. They were saying in room 11. They're all in there having a good time playing their instruments and having a great time. And look, I'm going to hang in here for a little while because Napoleon Wilson asked me yesterday if he... if I'd come in and we discussed Gerard Holmgren and Kay Ham's issue with him back in the day, if you want to do that, we can do that. You can come in here and play some songs and chill out and just say what you want as long as it's related to fakeology. So I've got this going now. So if you guys are listening to me on Radio 3, I can see John Adams in there and Dell, of course, and Napoleon Wilson, and a whole bunch of guys in there. Rochello, yeah, coming into to the live stream. You have to do it by yourselves. I don't want to drag you in. But, yeah, if you see me here, I've got this working, so you can come on in. Yeah, play some tunes. Check, 1, 2. Down again. Check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2, check 1, 2. How's the mic? Is it too loud? Loud? Too soft? Too loud? Too soft? Checking it all? 1, 2. Okay, we'll try that again. So bloody hot here in Australia today. It's about 40 degrees. It's ridiculous. It's computer overheats and it turns off in the other room. But I was listening to the guys in... If I'm repeating myself, I quite often do it, but I can hear myself, and my mic is very good. Oh, yeah, there it is. My wife just happens to come home right now. She's come home with some lubricant, but everyone was in the room 11 really having a good time. If you guys want to jump into the live stream, I don't want to mess with anything, because if I do, everything turns to shit. I'm having so much trouble with Discord today, but it's working now. I can hear myself coming in the other room. To repeat myself, I was talking to Napoleon Wilson on the text last night. We were talking about Gerard Holmgren and end of the chat that, good Lord, Velocet. I don't know why John LeBron was calling Velocet. Velocet is so professional, and I listened to that whole thing. It's... Especially at the end when Kay came in, just shows you that people don't take things personal, because that was so good. Because, you know, you'd think there'd be some friction between those two, but there was none. And that's what it should be. Everybody gets on, and even if you say something like John Adams said, what was it, John LeBron? It was a dick, being a dick, because he said it was being boring in the chat. LeBron, you know, he's got a skin of steel. He's got a very thick skin. And I listened to the whole thing. I went on a big trip yesterday, and I had it in the car playing it on the radio, and I was listening to it. My wife was rolling her eyes, but I like the young guy. But, yeah, so you guys in room 11, strumming your guitars, come on in. I'll have you on the loudspeaker, and as long as this thing doesn't play up, we can talk anything you want, because I'm prepared for anything. I'll get him yet.
Hello. Hello, Rollo.
How are you, mate?
Hey, man. Yeah, I have children playing in the back.
That's fine. That's fine. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, to you too.
Been enjoying the chats that you've been doing here at Fakeologist, and especially all the music you guys have been playing in the in room 11 there. Fantastic. And what do you look forward to in 2011, mate? 2011, you're from Colombia down there in South America.
Yes.
You're here at Fakeologist. What are you looking forward to in 2018?
Well, I would like to talk to more people and trying to open up some eyes at least to what we are surrounded with in terms of lies. And I've been quite successful in that, I must say, at New Year's Eve. I talked to a guy about Apollo, which is my kind of entry point. And then the guy said already, it's completely ridiculous. And I was like, okay, then we don't have to go any further.
Yeah. Okay, so the guy you were speaking to on New Year's Eve knew that the Apollo moon landings were ridiculous. That's good. I mean, that's good. So you got someone to talk to.
Definitely. And I think, okay, the younger crowd is a bit hard because they're so used to Facebook accounts and their smartphones and all that. Millennials, let's say. And they're very, they're not aware that in the 60s a computer was as big as a fucking house, right?
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, ENIAC.
To reach the moon, and then today, no, we don't go there anymore. It's like Abel Tasman going to Australia in 1630 or so. And then then years afterwards, nobody else. What? No, that's not how mankind works. If we can go there, we do it, right?
Yeah, man. That's it, man. And when we we look, I heard John Le Bon and also Kaham and Velocet talking the other night. We can't all be experts on everything, but there are some things we do know. And the computers back then, we know what they were capable of. We know. We just intrinsically know what they were capable of. And now, a PlayStation is now probably more powerful than anything they had back then. It was the size of a room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 512 megabytes or kilobytes or something of memory going to the fucking moon. What?
And get this, guy. And do you see the press conference? I mean, Neil Armstrong. I'm pretty sure he's dead. He's dead now. And but we still have
Patrick Moore
and the other two. What were their names?
Buzz Aldrin and
Michael Collins, right?
Yeah.
And Michael Collins was supposed to stay on the craft and do all the filming, apparently, because you got to remember that when Stanley Kubrick did it, you know, he filmed it, especially the bit where it was taking off from away the moon. You could see it wobble.
Yeah.
You could actually see the thing wobble because it was held by a string.
Which mission? I don't remember which mission. Was Apollo 16 or 17 or 14? I don't remember.
But the lunar lander.
These teapots going up, and then the camera tilts up. So who is fucking controlling that camera?
Who's controlling that? Exactly. It's just people were a lot simpler back then.
Yeah. And still, but, at the time, I mean, it was like 25% of people didn't believe it.
Destroys an illusion, and a lot of people, clever people, especially people at NASA, would be heartbroken because you never get a straight answer out of NASA, especially from the top. You never get the people that worked on that probably thought we were going to the moon, you know what I mean? And they're all lies.
I realized that, so it will be recorded, but still, when I was saying to one of my Facebook I wouldn't call it friends, but contacts, people never went to the moon. Literally, the next day, I was contacted on LinkedIn by a guy from NASA. I never replied to it and never accepted it, anything. But it was kind of suspicious, right? I mean, why would someone from NASA contact me on LinkedIn? I've never done anything with NASA. After just the chat we had on Togo Moonman. So they want to get on board.
NASA will, maybe will try and threaten you a little bit with LinkedIn or whatever, but that's NASA's problem, not yours.
No, yeah. I completely agree. I never replied, I just ignored it, of course. But it's the way these people work. They really want to
Right? Intimidation, fear tactics. Yeah. If you've got nothing to lose, that's why I treat life. You've got nothing to lose because
that's why I like.
But people have lied so much. People, yeah. I mean, we're talking about 9/11. That's, I mean, the guys were saying because they're so young. They don't remember the NASA stuff. I was born in 1969, right? Yeah. So I was in my mother's womb when we were supposed to have landed on the moon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fucking ridiculous when you work that shit out. You don't need to take acid to work that shit out or cocaine or marijuana. You just got to have a bit of common sense.
Yes, and that is actually my entry point to all the people I was talking to who were mostly older people. Older than you and me, and then they say, yeah, you're right, it's fucking ridiculous. And it was such a good, I mean, in this whole world of fakery, it's so important to be able to talk to people who are real, right? I mean, they're just normal people, I mean, not shield or something. No, normal people.
People like you and me. But there are a lot of people out there that have got invested in science fiction novels and planets and things like that, and it destroys their illusion. You know, people read fiction and think it's real. You know what I mean?
People don't want to lose their heroes.
My favorite show was Doctor Who, right? And Doctor Who got in a little blue box in a TARDIS and traveled through time and space. But I don't think that's real. But it's fun for the kiddies, and it makes them feel good. But as long as they know it's not real, as long as you know Jack Reacher is like 6.5 foot and Tom Cruise is 5 foot, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a little, you suspend your disbelief when you watch a movie. It's just when you watch the TV news. And those motherfuckers will tell you this is real, and it's not. And they don't even question. I've said it a million times. They won't question. But we do.
I mean, in that sense, I think the movie network has really the best quote. It literally says, we are fucking lying to your face. You're interpreting it as real. But we are lying. Don't trust us. I mean, it was put out in fucking 1974. And still people are believing all that shit that's coming on to us, right?
That was an Australian actor, the lead role.
I didn't know.
That was he was Australian, man. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's not bad, huh? And the guy Ned Beatty, when he took him up to the what do you call it, the Masonic room, and he says, and he gives him that big speech, and he says, "Look, this is the way it works. Try to intimidate him." And the fella, the newsreader, I forgot his name. It just doesn't, it's not coming to hand. I'm not going to type it in. You can type it up. Just said, "Fuck it. I'm gonna say it anyway." You're gonna get mad. You're gonna get mad. I love that.
Yeah. It is such a strong. I mean, these people. I mean, that's why I'm saying people are psychopaths. And psychopaths, they don't care about staging the perfect hoax. They're not autists, right? I mean, they're not like perfectionists. No, they like to play. So if can they can say something which is incomplete or debunkable or something, they get away with it because they rely on their social engineering and their social media and peers fighting us, you know?
Can we go into there's some people close to you that you said there were psychopaths. I listened to a recording.
My fucking father was.
Yeah. So can you talk about them a little bit more? Expand upon that. And
my father,
the Bilderberg.
My father met the founder of the Bilderberg Group one-on-one multiple times. I mean, there are not a lot of people in the world who can say that. And I had a very bad childhood because of that. My mother was also not right. I wouldn't call her a psychopath, but it's close, right? A sociopath type of person. That's how my parents found each other, of course. But you don't get to that stage if you are not completely psychopathic and you have no remorse, no self-reflection, and no moral framework, something like that. Sorry, the background noise.
No, that won't come out on the audio too bad. It's what you're saying is more important. So yeah, your mother and father. It sounds like you had a lonely childhood.
I left home when I was 19. I was always happy that I did that, but my father literally said, "I enjoy manipulating people." I mean, what the fuck? This is fucking psychopath, right?
And we have an expression in English. Christian speak, expression in like mother like son, or like father like son. It sounds like you got none of their qualities.
No. I realize I do have some of that in me, and I have to fight it to not fall into the same trap as they did. And I have to reflect on that, you know, because. I think it's a kind of disease or kind of
it's some sort of disease of the brain or something, or
yeah, I cannot pinpoint it to the brain or something, but yeah, it's something which can be inherited, and I see that as well. I mean, lying and putting another face that you really are, it is somehow inherited, and I have to take care of that. I mean, personally, my own self, and that's the whole thing about psychopaths. They don't do that. They literally, they don't have a self. They don't have a character. They don't have a well, that, right?
I mean, would you say actors on TV are psychopaths because they don't really have any self?
Exactly.
They're playing characters.
Yeah.
playing characters,
and they are empty people. People who
remember lines. They can remember lines, and they can remember things to say, and it's
they can be anyone.
Entertaining. Pepper.
Right?
Yeah. Keep going.
And that is what psychopaths are. They have no remorse. That's the main point. They don't have self reflection. They cannot look at their own actions and then realize that something they did was wrong. No, they will always go, someone else did something wrong. Never they themselves. Right? I mean, it's like, you and me, we're both fine, but we don't step into a car and then cause an accident and then say, I was and the other person. No, we have to address that idea that we have done something wrong ourselves, right? And psychopaths, they're unable to do it. It's like, it's a disease, really. It's a lack of something.
We can't put ourselves on a pedestal. None of us are perfect. I've made mistakes in my life that... That I know that I've made mistakes, and I learn from my mistakes. And what you're saying, because you have direct contact with these psychopaths, as you say, don't learn from their mistakes?
They're unable to learn from it. Yes, yes. So being able to learn from it, like you, makes us non-psychopaths. by definition, because psychopaths will always externalize their own faults to other people.
It's kind of a scary world. I don't want to be fear-mongering here, to know that there are psychopaths out
there,
isn't there?
Yeah, but to me, it really helped me. I figured it out when my father was... when my mother was dying, died, then at the dinner funeral, I found out actually dead. I never could point a finger on it.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a plan.
And everybody do that. Help him out. Abs actually put a new thing called a wallet, a Bitcoin wallet thing, so you can actually pay him in Bitcoin now. So if you want to help out.
I know.
I'm just talking to the people that might listening to this podcast afterwards. If you want to help Ab out, and the fellow that helped him out was a fellow in Morocco, Trictamine.
Yeah.
So helped him out. So, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to hear the truth and you want to keep hearing the truth, just help Ab out with a few little bitcoins or, $1.19 a month or whatever you... However you can help him out. I'm helping him out now by having a lovely chat with Gaia. Now, we were just talking about, where were we before we were rudely interrupted by Ab there? Your mother.
Psychopath.
Was dying and your mother was dying.
I had unpleasant childhood. And I realized that luckily enough, early on, but the first Christmas after my mother died, I asked my father to his face, "Yeah, you told us, me and my sister, you told us you never want to have children. How do you think about that right now?" And we were like 30 and 33 years old. And he was like, "Yeah, still the same." What? I mean, so you're actually telling me, my face, you didn't want my existence.
He just wanted to have a good fuck. He wanted to have a good fuck, but he didn't want you. Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, without any reflection, without remorse, without any idea about how that portrays to another person. You know, that is what psychopaths typify. It's they don't have any empathy. Empathy is completely gone. So they don't have any, because they don't have a reflection of themselves. They also don't have a reflection of how people look at you. And that is actually what helped me in understanding how all these psyops and hoaxes and stage events, whatever you want to call it, are done. Because these people, they don't have that. They lack that capacity.
Gaia, let me ask. Did you? Yeah. Gaia, let me ask you this. Your grandparents, did they have an effect on on your father's side, say? Did your grandfather have no love for your father? Have you investigated that?
Yeah, I was actually raised in part by my grandparents, of my father's side, because we lived next door. And my grandmother, she was a really completely honest, non-psychopathic.
That's what we would expect, complete honesty, yeah. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So you were raised in part by on your father's grandparents' side, yep.
Yes.
Keep going.
And my grandfather, he was Jewish, and he was hiding during the so-called Holocaust. There's not a Holocaust, of course, but he was surviving because he married a Christian woman, my grandmother. And his sister and my great-grandparents, they were a so-called guest. They were not guests, of course, but that's the official story. They were guests in Sobibor. And then my grandparents went to live in Israel in the 1960s, which only afterwards I found strange because my grandfather was not at all religious, Jewish, nothing. I mean, we ate pork and shrimps and anything non-kosher in my childhood. So, and he was not religious at all. My grandmother was Christian and there was no problem. So why did they go to Israel? That is my thesis, is that the so-called Holocaust was actually a program to get the European Jews who didn't want to move to Israel in the first place, because they were well integrated in Europe, Germany, Holland, France, whatever, to move to Israel, because it's like the famous saying, never spoil a good crisis, or never, take advantage of a crisis. And that's actually what Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, said. We first need a good crisis in Europe, and then we get Israel. That's the whole idea behind the whole Second World War. There are other, but that is one of the motives, is to get people to Israel.
British Empire has always done the divide and conquer thing for so long.
I would call it confuse and conquer, not divide and conquer. Confuse and conquer.
Confuse and conquer. That's interesting. That's a nice way of looking at it. You're obviously a you're a philosopher. Do you like philosophy and you think about things
a lot? I love it. I was an anarchist before becoming a truth seeker, because I realized that the state, if you and me are not allowed to gun or to kill people or to extract money from people or take loans on other people's children, or to kidnap people and put them in a cage, and why is someone who is also human, like you and me, with a badge called state, suddenly allowed to do the same thing? No, it doesn't make sense, right?
It's power, and power corrupts, and I don't know if I'm parroting here, but power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, but I don't know. Do you want to go back to the Holocaust? I mean, that's one of the hardest subjects. We can still talk about it freely. There is a lot of evidence to say that the gassings and that, especially at, at Auschwitz.
I have to interrupt. Treblinka.
Really. Treblinka, go.
If there is one entry point to the Holocaust story, it's Treblinka. Because Auschwitz is what everybody knows. It's like Disney. I call it the Disneyland of the Holocaust. But Treblinka is the Sandy Hoax of the Holocaust. It's so fucking ridiculous that it's so easy to understand.
Belson and a whole bunch of others, but Treblinka. So go into that further. Do you know?
According to the mainstream story, there were between 700,000 and 900,000 people killed in Treblinka by the exhaust of diesel engines, not Cyclone B, no, diesel engines in Treblinka. Most of them, they were buried in Polish ground. Also in winter, and everybody who knows how continental European winters are, freaking cold. It's like minus 20 degrees centigrade.
Ask Ab. He's in minus 33 degrees.
Minus 20 degrees. Kind of temperature. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Keep going.
And then they were buried there in the ground. And then suddenly, in springtime, the so-called well-organized Nazis, I mean, they were well-organized, I mean, that's in the mainstream, and anyone else is agreeing on that, they were thinking, no, let's dig up 700,000 bodies from the ground, and then let's start burning them on open fire pits, which is very energy effective.
Inefficient.
And nobody ever saw the fumes of that. 700 fucking thousand bodies. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, go to a normal and that times 12. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think about it.
You're too logical. Truth is the first thing that's lost in war. You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree.
It's all propaganda and fear-mongering. And the Jews can't help themselves. They promote this stuff. The Jews on television.
Yeah, and that's my position. Jews are just like normal people like you and me. I mean, of course, there question that there is a over-representation Jews in the powerful circles. Of course, there is. Bankers, big so-called capitalists, which are not capitalists, but capitalists, people in power, of course, they're dominant. I mean, you shouldn't deny it, but you shouldn't also, at the same time, restrict it to Jews, because we have Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, who is not a Jew, or Mao Zedong.
Let me just qualify what I say. We're not crypto Jews here at fakeologist.com, but, you know, in essence, if you're, if one of your grandparents was a Jew, I mean, aren't you Jewish? Is that the way it works?
No, because even according to the Nuremberg, which were just copied from Zionist laws, which is also, I mean, completely suspicious, because if the so-called Nazis were against Zionists, why would they copy the same racial laws that the Zionists
the Aryan race. Yeah, the Aryan race. Blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well, they said in the child of a Jewish mother, so you're like a half Jewish kid, then you're Jewish. Well, my mother wasn't Jewish. My father wasn't Jewish. My grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side weren't Jewish. I've checked all my genealogy all the way back to Charles the Great. Really like a 980. And only my paternal grandparents, grandfather lineage, yes, they were Jewish. But that by definition means I am not Jewish.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that. They said Hitler's grandmother was Jewish. I mean, but what are we to believe?
I mean, with Hitler it's a big problem, but with the main Nazis, the close circle Hitler, the so-called, what's the name? His private cabinet or something like that.
A circle? What?
Private circle or private cabinet. Yeah. And those people, they were all Jewish, and the people who were so-called hanged in Nuremberg after the war in 1946, they were all Jewish. So, including Eichmann. I mean the name already, Eichmann.
Sounds very Jewish, doesn't it? About Mengele, the angel of death, monarch to the kingdom of the dead? I think he got to South America. A lot of them went to South America, didn't they?
Yes, and that is and they're a thing. Do you know about, I call him Joseph Goebbels. And he was the head of course, you know that. He was the head of propaganda of the Nazi Germany. He married a woman called Magda. And Magda, she was the ex-wife of one of the biggest industrial families in Germany, who were also the founders of the BMW company.
Why not? I remember in the day you couldn't drink Coca-Cola and you couldn't drink Coca-Cola in Nazi Germany. You had to drink Fanta.
It's a joke.
The British monarch are Germans. They're Germans.
Saxe Coburg.
Yes.
Exactly. That's so funny. Why the fuck did the Luftwaffe not bomb the central London? Why did they bomb the East End?
Even better. I've been on a forum for like 2 years now. Actually 2 years. Where I am against people who are completely pro-Nazi. They really believe that Adolf Hitler was the biggest hero of history, and he really got rid of the so-called Zionist bankers and the usual. So I asked these guys, I mean, there were 61 cities in Germany bombed. So, I mean, what kind of a lousy defender of this so-called German folk was it, Hitler, that he couldn't defend his own people against the British and the American bombers? And then the answer that comes is, yeah, no, they flew at night. So then I ask the question, well, don't you think that after two bombings at night, that people start to wake up and think, maybe we should do something about that at night, right? No.
I like that.
The Nazis, they were 70 years ahead in development, but they couldn't prevent the British, who were 70 years behind, let's say, bombing the shit out of people at night.
I think about that too. There was a show called Dad's Army, and they had air raid wardens in the 40s. And these air raid wardens, if you didn't have blackouts up on your windows, and as you showed a light, they would come and, you know, hassle the crap out of you. What's to say they didn't just bomb the shit out of their own? They wanted to do a land clear on the east end of London. Because Buckingham Palace didn't get bombed. They didn't bomb St. Paul Cathedral or Westminster Abbey, all these places that would be absolutely... You could not replace these places. So why the fuck, if the Luftwaffe were bombing England, wouldn't they go and bomb the shit out of those places if it wasn't an inside job?
Yes, it wasn't an inside job.
It's laughable now, and that makes you kind of lonely, because I used to love Dad's Army when I watched it. You probably never watched it. It was just these old guys that were defending England. If Hitler's going to come over, it's still funny, and if you take it for what it is, but the real life, most of what happened in World War II, if you want to say they had to have a second one after the Great War, when they were in trenches and gassing each other and doing it's maybe to get rid of overpopulation. I don't know. Do you think that could be what they're trying to
do? It's setting the stage for the United Nations, setting the stage for the European Union, and also letting the... That's what something I looked into recently. I didn't know about chemical warfare, you know, and sarin, cyclosarin,
yeah, yeah,
turban, yeah, or something. Nerve gases. And that was developed by the Nazis in Germany. And they did it because then afterwards they could take, like Operation Paperclip, they could take their research, and then if it goes wrong, if anybody protests, it was Nazi Germany who developed it. No, of course, it was the same people as always who developed those kind of crap. And it's the same thing with the Australians in Turkey in the First World War.
Gallipoli.
Gallipoli.
Big thing out of that, they really do here in Australia. Oh my God, every year, Australians go over to Turkey and they almost celebrate war, whereas it should be, because I'm a pacifist or a conscientious objector.
I object bitterly
to war, and that means any celebration or commemoration, all of it can go fuck itself as far as I'm aware. These fucking politicians that pretend they care, our hearts and minds, our thoughts and prayers and all this, they can go fuck themselves. Because they're actors and they're pretending to care, but politicians are just... it's just like in the First World War, I think it was Earl Haig. What is it? The best thing you can do is your resignation and suicide would be the best thing you could fucking do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had this discussion with our famous show here on the Discord. It's Soundwave. And I,
540,
we were talking about the World War II, and then I said, don't you think it's strange that people design machines to actually kill other humans? People call them tanks. Don't you find it strange? And then he was, what is strange about tanks? And then I repeated my question. Don't you think it's strange that people design machines to kill other people who they don't know? Okay, what? Okay, how fucking sick is that? I mean, if someone tries to rob you, tries to rape your wife and harm your kids and so, yeah, of course, that is fine if you attack that person because you shouldn't be there. That's fine. But people you don't know, you don't have to with, and you attack with a machine that is designed to kill people, it's something quite different, right?
Brainwashed. Maybe he's a brainwashed,
he is completely
or young, or he's, what do you call it, agitating, I don't know.
He lacks any thinking skills. He is a complete parrot. I've talked to this guy for a month, and he is completely... He's a parrot. He's just regurgitating propaganda. That's his position.
Yeah, I've met...
It's not like he's a bad person, because he believes it. He's not like a deliberate...
Most lead singers of bands are parrots, right? Like, famous bands. Like Tom Dalpra, is he a parrot? He would have been a parrot back in the day when he was a big rock star, because he had to sing the same lyrics every night. AC/DC, Brian Johnson, or Bon Scott, parrots. But you've got to be able to think for yourself, and maybe he was born, maybe he's been vaccinated, I don't know, and unable to can have a conversation where you have to listen to the person, listen to what they say, and then say something back that's new, something that's original, something that we all base our memories on everything else, everything we've read, all the music we've heard, everything. And all the experiences you've had. Sorry to cut you off, but all the experiences you've had. And you've had, it sounds like you've had some experiences that have made you a stronger and better man. you know, someone who's going to change the world. Someone, you know, make a world a better place for all of us. I know that sounds a bit...
No, I agree, because what I agree with John LeBron. I have a personal difference with him, but it doesn't matter. I mean, we disagree on some points, but we also agree on some points. And I think his position of saying we are not better than our peers who are still in the Disney world, I think is a very good point, because if we reflect to our own lives, we've been there for 30-plus years, right? I mean, how could we call ourselves, our own self, from 10 years back or 5 years back, stupid and gullible and, you know, no, of course, these people, they're in the same position as so many years ago. And it would be wrong to call them wrong, you know? Hey, Ed.
I need to go and have a, go and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
Will you come back? Ab won't let me play any music. But if you, what's your favorite song in the world? I'll play it for you. some
my
band.
My favorite song. That's hard. I mean, I have some favorite music.
Send me the link directly, and I'll play it while we go and have a smoke, and then we'll come back.
Yeah,
and
I am just taking a smoke now. Just let's go out and smoke
inside. Hey, I can't smoke inside. My wife is asthmatic, and I'm not allowed to smoke inside.
Well, I am not smoking inside ever. So I am outside now, and then the kids are gone because it's actually quite early. It's 8:30.
All right, keep chatting. I'll listen to you on the loudspeaker, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay.
Cool, man. I want to ask Missam to come in, because we were talking about it. Favorite song. Yeah. Hello. What?
1-2-2-2-1-2. Remember, there's no dead air on takeallthis.com, and
hey, man. Sorry.
There's no dead. No, that's fine. Let me just. People listening to this podcast, there's no dead air on fakeologist.com. So when we have a little 5 minute break like that, that's all good. And we can go and reflect and think about things that you said, especially your rubbish upbringing, but it's made you a stronger man. And how old are you again, if you don't mind me asking, Guy?
I'm almost 39.
So I'm 48. So you've lived on this world long enough, anyway. And what do you...
I've traveled to 60 countries. So I've seen quite a bit.
Good on you, man. What was your favorite country, like... Have you been down here to Australia?
I live there. No, I haven't. No, that's one place I would like to visit. No, there are two places I really like to visit. No, maybe three. One is Madagascar. Second is Australia. And third is to all in the Southern Hemisphere. But
You cut out on the third. What was the third one?
Antarctica.
Yeah. The ice wall.
Yeah, some people think it, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Flat Earth? Do you go into that subject at all?
I have been 1 year on Flat Earth Society Forum, and I've talked to a lot of Flat Earth people, and actually the only videos I ever produced were about Flat Earth. I linked them in the Bull Earth Skeptic channel. I'm sorry, you guys, but Flat Earth is just flat wrong.
We live on a ball, right?
There are only three possibilities. It's either flat, or concave, or convex. So curving downward is convex, curving upward is concave, or flat.
Yeah. Well,
if it's not liquid, concave, then only convex remains, right?
Put in a glass, it will create a meniscus, won't it? So there is possibility that water will curve. You know, water in top of a glass.
Water always sticks to the surface. If you take the surface as reference level, which either flat earth thinkers or spherical earth thinkers say, then there's no difference. Because you always use the reference level of the surface.
Right, we won't concentrate on flat earth. It divides too many people. Why do you want to go to Madagascar? What's Madagascar?
It's biology. I mean, it's such a unique biological environment. I would like to see that. And I've heard it's pretty much destroyed and so on. Yeah. But then I will go with some guides, dodgy guide in the jungle. For her, doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah. What about the Galapagos Islands? Would you like to go to them?
Yes. Well, yeah. Good point, yeah. I would like to dive there. Diving. I really love diving.
You're a scuba diver?
Yeah.
You're like... Yeah? I've always had problems with my ears. My ears don't equalize, right, when I try to do that. Yeah. But I'm a bit afraid of sharks. I don't know why, but I think it's probably because that... Spielberg may be afraid of sharks.
And the Jaws, actually, I shared it before on another live stream. I asked my wife to marry me underwater, diving at the most remote island.
And did she say no?
No.
Because she wouldn't be your wife otherwise. I'm joking.
But it was on Easter Island, which is an island so called discovered by a Dutchman. So it's a little fun. No, but
how long have you been married for?
1 year and 3 months.
Have you been faithful the whole time?
Before, I wasn't. Now I am. So it's live stream. So guys, who are out there, if you want to check me out. No, but yes. Now I am. Before I was.
You played around.
Okay, I'm playing.
How many women do you think you've been with in your life?
Close to 40.
Personally.
Close to 40. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm up to 40, but I have to think through the list. But I don't think it's close to 40. I think it's close to 30 or something, but that's all right.
You just have a good life, and you travel around in nice female homo sapiens. I mean, it doesn't change the love you have for that great homo sapiens you were in a relation with, I would say.
Some people, if you watch porn stars, they've had 10,000 lovers. 10,000? That sounds like lovers. Almost a job.
That's almost a job. Yeah, that's it. I mean, but I had this discussion with people online, and they really, I was talking about this. Because I say, listen, being with another woman change my love for the woman I love. If it does, it actually means love doesn't mean anything. You know?
Yeah, but what is love? I mean, try and explain love to someone. I love apples, but I can't explain to you what they taste like.
Yeah, but so, you know, so yeah, I know. It's a good point. Because then, when you're eating strawberry instead of apples, you could have bought apples, but you're eating strawberries, then you're somehow cheating on apples? No.
You still
love apples.
That's logic for you. Yeah. That's good logic. You got a sense of humor. You got to have a sense of humor when you're in the truth
game.
Oh, man. The music.
I'm serious, but man. If you get me... I mean, I need humor. I mean,
Really, literally, Napoleon Wilson, Steve Hughes for me, Australian, he is a fucking hero because he is the same humor as I am. You know him?
Bastard! 11, Soundway 40. You mad bastard! You mind your mouth! You mind your mouth! I love the way he came back. You mind your mouth. He's just saying, Merry or Happy New Year, you mad bastard. It was great. I just love hearing, comedy relief. You need comedy relief.
Yeah. It
keeps you sane. It keeps you sane.
Yes, so much. And also keeps our peers sane. Because there is no way to get to that but with humor, right? Just point out the ridiculousness of any story, and then people will look at you and like, yeah, it's fucking bullshit. It's fucking ridiculous, right?
Yeah. If you end up, a lot of people, I think, end up bottling it all up. And bottling up their thoughts and the insanity of the world. If you don't let it out, like here, it's being recorded here on fakeologist.com. What's the point? What's the point of life? What's the meaning of life to you, guy? What is the meaning of life? Is that too big a question? The meaning of life?
No. I think the meaning of life is every individual fills in. To him or herself, and my filling in great experience on this earth, that's why I'm called Gaia, because Gaia is the only god who can prove this. There might be another god, I don't know, but Gaia is for sure real, and that's why I like traveling. I like to meet other cultures, other thoughts, other experiences. And I've done that in 60 countries until now, and that's the meaning of life for experience as much as I can of this earth.
Good on you, man. I think, and myself, to get personal, the meaning of life is to give your life meaning. You know what I mean? It's to flip it around a bit. The meaning of life is to give your life meaning. That means help out. Always live in the moment. Try and live right now.
Yes.
That's it. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Madagascar, which you haven't been there, but if you've been to, say, I don't know, Northern Ireland. Have you been up to Northern Ireland?
No.
Do you know why we didn't?
Just the place that I've been to Chernobyl.
Oh, did you come away irradiated? Did you have a Geiger counter?
At that time, I was still stuff, but no, I've been there. Which I can recommend to anyone listening in. It's a great city in Europe. And then you can go on a trip to...
because it's a whole city, and it's empty, and it's all sort of overgrown.
Yeah, Pripyat is free. And it's just, it's empty. And I really felt, I've taken photos, put them on the stream.
And when did that happen, that host?
In 1986.
It was, that's right. Yeah, I remember it. In Australia, we had a
26th of April, 1986.
Nice. Yeah, I remember that. They stopped bringing cheese in from...
Yes.
From other countries. The milk.
Yeah.
And the spinach. Yeah, because they thought it was all irradiated, but bullshit. Complete bullshit, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they rebuilt Nagasaki and Hiroshima and Tokyo or whatever. I think they only said they bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima with nuclear bombs. And they rebuilt them straight away. Fucking hell, man.
I feel sorry for those Japanese because actually, fire bombs, like gasoline bombs, are actually much worse than the so-called nuclear bombs, which luckily don't exist. But still, if you think about it,
destroying people in an instant with a nuclear bomb is actually better, so-called better, than destroying people with fireballs because they burn to death, no?
Yeah, but you, as long as you duck and cover, okay? As long as you duck and cover. Yeah. Yeah, I'm being serious. Yeah, they did firebomb. Because it was made of wood. I mean, Japan is notorious for earthquakes, so they built wooden houses because they're clever like that.
Yeah, and then that was the whole program behind the whole second, the Marshall Plan and the plan in Asia, especially Japan, was to rebuild. I mean, that's the whole purpose of war. One of the purposes is to rebuild.
Have you been?
No, I've never been in Japan. I would really like
the best high-speed trains, you know, from Tokyo to, I think it's Osaka to Tokyo, where they put them on magnets or something.
Yeah. These
beautiful high-speed trains that go 300, 400 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So you got to get over to Japan. So you got to do that.
Yeah, I know.
So if you're
that's the fourth country on my list.
And they're all weirdos too. I mean,
yeah,
some of those Japanese women.
Yeah,
they're a little bit.
The Japanese movies and all the culture coming from there. Like, well, I've been with we're on live stream, so share it. But I've been with a Japanese Brazilian girl on New Year's Eve, exactly 5 years ago now. No, sorry, 6 years ago now in Amsterdam. My best friend is from Holland, and he lives now in Amsterdam. And I was going out with him, but I didn't have a girlfriend at that time, so I. Kind of stole a Japanese Brazilian. Can you imagine? Japanese Brazilian. So she is completely Japanese looking, but she danced like a Brazilian girl. I mean, man, we were dancing the shit out of it in Amsterdam. you can imagine like this Brazilian dance. But then
the Japanese I was
girl dancing it, right? And then yes, we managed to get it nicely. So yeah, this was a good experience. No, it was my last New Year in so. Hey,
Oh, Napoleon Wilson's here, is he?
I put my head in and I heard
you. You're mad.
She's a Japanese
you
girl.
You mad bastard.
But she danced like a Brazilian.
Wonderful. Yes.
I had to come in.
Here we are on fakeologist.com. Here we are on fakeologist.com with Gaia and Napoleon, the mad bastard Wilson. How are you, Danny, with a Y?
Oh, you've made me sound like I'm a darts player as well, man. That's like a darts player's name. There's not much going on when he gets on stage, so they call him a mad bastard. I'm fine, my mate. How are you?
Good, mate. We're having a good chat here. We were just talking about Brazilian. I was at the beach yesterday, and there were some very pretty girls, and they've got their undies right up their backsides. And I was enjoying every minute of it, watching them.
And they were enjoying my wife as well, watching them.
My wife was a bit, don't stare, it's rude to stare. I'm going, well, if you're wearing that, what do you expect me to do?
No, it is a mutual, there's a mutual there, what's the word, contract going on there. They wear that, you look at them. They wouldn't wear that if you didn't look, you know.
Fine, I don't have a problem with it. I used to live in Lakemba, and there were a lot of Muslims there, and it's very hot in Australia at the moment. It's about 30 to 35 degrees. And they all wear the full black burkas, and they stink, and they look like shit, but I respect their right to wear it too. I look at them the same way, kind of thing, you know? Do you know what I mean? It's not a racist thing.
No.
I worked in Lakemba for years, and there were a lot of Greeks, there were a lot of Lebanese, and there were a lot of Muslims, let's say, and they're all nice people, but I can't, wearing the full hijab or whatever you call it here in Australia, it doesn't make any sense. It's so fucking hot here.
Yeah.
It just means that the men are a little bit, what do you call it? I think paranoid that their wives, other men looking at their wives.
No, I mean, Islam is pretty anti-men more than anti-women. Because
women get dressed up for other women. It's not the men.
Yeah, true. I mean, women, they circumcision and that. But it is mostly saying men are some kind of...
guys, we're all talking over one another. Let's one go at the moment. You guy, go for it. Keep going on your thought.
Yeah, that men are like uncontrollable beasts who rape women if they are not somehow covered, right?
Yeah, and Napoleon?
I heard the word circumcision thrown in, so I was just wondering where you got the word circumcision.
Your thoughts on that? Have you been circumcised, Napoleon? Or I haven't.
No, mate, I'm rubbing out.
That's it, man. So circumcision, to take the skin off a baby's penis at birth, how can we believe in God if we're not made in God's image?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. God was perfect, but they created an imperfect human. What?
How does that work? It's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
I just shared pictures with you and Napoleon with this Brazilian girl.
They're not rude pictures. I think we should establish that.
They're from Facebook. I just went into her Facebook after 5 years, you know? But, yeah.
Hey, yes, I'm sir. Gaia. Gaia, mm-hmm. I'm looking at it now, and I'm masturbating as we speak.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, this one.
Right, we need to do not go live with this, lads. I'll change the subject. Eh? Change the subject. Eh?
This one.
Napoleon.
Yes.
We're all chilling here, man.
I know.
Doesn't have to put this to air.
We're going live, don't you worry. So, yeah, anyway.
I know this is going out on, what is it called, the live stream 3. I can hear it in the other room. I'm actually recording it, so if anything goes wrong. But, look, it's fine. As long as it's remotely fakeologist-related, what we talk about, he doesn't mind, and he doesn't edit, so none of this will be edited. And there's nothing wrong with us having a good laugh, even if it's a bit lowbrow. I watched Pulp Fiction the other night, where you had Ving Rhames getting pumped up the ass by Zed.
I don't think it was my idea. I'm sure Sarah's seen it with Ving Rhames and, you know, Pulp Charlotte, the two pandas involved in it. But, yeah, I do like to... emulate, sort of, you know.
You want to talk about?
No, I like to shake things up. Just throw something in now and again. Obviously, it's not as long as it's culturally based. Most people can get it. So, you know, you just throw things in now and again.
Gaia, have you seen Pulp Fiction, mate?
Hey, it's masturbating.
Gaia, have you seen Pulp Fiction? But, we were going to talk about Gerard Holmgren. If we could get Kayham here now, I don't know if she's in the, I don't know. But,
Gary dropped out. Yeah, so.
Oh, God, has he? Okay, then. That's fine. We come and go. But, Happy New Year to you. I don't think I've spoken to you in the New Year, and, all the chats that we've had, last year, I mean, when we went through Oliver Stone and you were talking about Sean Stone and his boy wanting to be friends with who was that guy that was throwing the shit into the mix? I knew someone. You remember?
Jay Dyer. Jay Dyer talked to Sean Stone.
Have you got anything? I'm sorry.
Well, he's he's set his path, hasn't he? So he's got to adhere to some things. He's got to adhere to JFK being assassinated. He's got to adhere to probably one out of five shooting hoaxes in a year. There's probably a certain itinerary you need to, you know, tick the boxes in order to get your next book promoted by people who are the conspiracy world. I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Look. We've gone through this in the past. You're on fakeologist.com. I'm with Napoleon Wilson. If you want to listen to this conversation, we had it halfway through October, I think. We went through the shooting of JFK at length, didn't we?
You probably. Remember, I don't really remember stuff. I just talk what comes out of my mouth. You're not really honest with you, mate. So then that way I don't have to remember what I've said. But yeah.
That term, deadly honest. Yeah. I'll be dead honest with you. And you're a cleaner, right? So I watched The Professional. So you're a cleaner, like in that movie, the cleaner.
I'm a cleaner.
Good on you, man. I'd like to be friends with you rather than enemies. But
do you know what's funny? I actually shared a birthday with Natalie Portman. So there you go.
Ed. Yeah, that's how we got onto that conversation way back. Yeah.
Okay.
Good on you. I've got Armand Asante. Have you ever seen Armand Asante? He's a very handsome. He was very handsome. I don't know if he is now. And fuck, I keep forgetting her name. Susan Sarandon.
That was the one. Yes, Susan Sarandon.
Birthday, 4th of October. So, yeah, you've got, let me see if I remember, Michael J. Fox and Johnny Depp and Natalie Portman, right? Yeah.
Every one of them suspect.
Natalie Portman.
You know what I mean?
The Professional. She's only got to be about 8 or 9 years old in that. I'm not saying then, but now. Oh, yeah, Gary Oldman. What about... who was the main guy in it that went, Matilda?
Oh, yes.
This is from Matilda. That lovely voice. John Reno.
That's it, John Reno. Yeah.
He opens a hand.
The Frenchman in every film going after for about 10 years after that.
The Big Blue before that. The Big Blue, you know, when they went deep sea diving. Have you ever seen The Big Blue?
Don't think so.
I'll enjoy it. But when he says, "This Stansfield, this is from Matilda," he shot him in the back of the head and there's blood all over the floor. Because you know about cleaning up blood, right? And there's that ring on the, they've done that, not CGI, because they didn't do CGI back then. When they blew out that thing in New York.
Yes.
They must have cordoned that off to get that away with that, because that wasn't CGI. That was real. All the flames coming out of the building. And here we go!
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Fellas, you want that change? Bella Say. What was that all about? He has never watched A Clockwork Orange? Fuck me. Watch A Clockwork Orange. It's disturbing. It's disturbing. It was banned in Australia till. Fuck me. When did they finally fucking release that in Australia? About, I don't know, 80, in the mid 80s? You could not. You have to go to special theatres to watch that in Australia.
Yeah. I think the illusion that it was banned here, but it was actually only banned in maybe Northern Ireland.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Ireland.
Oh, could you have those things in your eyeballs and have them open like that? I don't know. Malcolm McDowell must be some crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, just thinking about that, is it? But you mean it, at least that accentuates what you're actually seeing. You see the crossover. I mean, everybody talks about the monolith being the, you know, the screen, but in actual fact, the black monolith represents like nothing, doesn't it? It's, what you see on it is the world. So when it's turned off, you see nothing. But having someone's eyes wide open and showing them pictures on the screen, that's just so memorable. I remember when I first seen that film.
It was the rape scene. I think it was the rape scene that put people off in Australia. But it was so vaudeville, you know. Yeah. It wasn't really a rape scene. It was just laughable when you think about it now.
Yeah, well, it had that slow motion effect to it as well, didn't it? So you could see that, you know, there was, you know, the nuances. I mean, everything was overacted because it was done in slow motion in different parts of the violence as well was done in slow motion. Yeah. Got any funny thing, Kubrick? You know, is it him? Is half the stuff that is on the screen coming from his brain? I doubt it. I really do. It.
Perfectionist. He was definitely a perfectionist.
Maybe that would account for why he was a perfectionist. Maybe the people he was working for, or maybe the idea that he was trying to get across was something that was already something that he knew he was going to emulate. Maybe it was maybe a lot of them things were scenes that he'd seen before and he was trying to re-encounter.
As I'm concerned, he definitely was. I mean, you watched The Shining. The Shining. Have you read the book, The Shining? Have you watched the movie, The
never
Shining?
Never read the book, apparently. It's one of the most scariest books going.
Well, the book, to cut it short, is about a drunk, an alcoholic. The movie that says it's based on, it's about the Apollo moon landings being fake. It's just obvious. That's what Kubrick, he changed the book into a confession. That's what it was, a confession.
Ooh, that sounds good. Go on, tell me more.
The yellow V-dub going up the mountain in the open shot, in the book it's a red, and then you have the red V-dub that's crushed. It goes past it. I mean, it's look, a little kitty with it. It's the guy that interviews him for the job over the winter looks exactly like John F. Kennedy. Like, I'm parroting. This is mostly there was a guy that did a big, massive forgot his name.
So is The Shining the moon? I'm only joking. Go on.
The light in the sky, yeah.
Yeah, light is shining.
That's it. It's it. That song. Da-na-na-na, the light in the sky. What was that? We played it the other day, 1973. Forgot. That it was, I've smoked a little bit too much weed tonight. Have you got any else on your mind apart from Gerard Holmgren? We were going to talk about Gerard Holmgren, but if we have to wait until Kayham gets here,
I didn't really want to talk about Gerard Holmgren. It was just when you said that Gerard Holmgren was one of the first people who put forward the idea of no planes, and that sounded. And then you said it sounds a bit unusual for him to tell Simon to f off. But like I say, I don't really know much about Gerard Holmgren. I know enough Fast Volume and Kano, a little bit more about him, but there's no point in me speculating, mate, because once it worked out for myself, I sort of stopped looking into it.
Ego thing again. We can speak with authority. We've spoken to Kay, and you've spoken to Kay before, haven't you?
Kayham, yeah, she's lovely.
Problems here. So we're not talking behind her back, and we're all being recorded, so there's no problems. As Ab says, there's a lot of ego in the whole 9/11 thing. There is. There's a massive amount of it. Everybody wants to be the one. But that's okay.
The one to what?
I know for a fact. I was reading Gerard Holmgren in 2005, 2006, and I know for a fact that September Clues wasn't released until midway, some way through 2007. And then he re-released another version. And if he had it over again, he would make a version that doesn't have To All the Victims. The beginning is that opening, what do you call it, the words. Him and Hoy have done the Vixen Report, and Hoy's gone through the JPEGs and seen, nobody died that day. Simon Shack put the missile and he turned it into a plane going into the building. So that's a kind of a mistake too, because that was all CGI. You could
Yeah,
but like, at least there's fucking donkey in that goddamn building.
Yeah, but that stuff was reported on the day. So, you know, you might as well throw it in, because at the end of the day, you're reporting on everything that the media put out there.
So,
yeah, but I can understand not being chopper, just throwing everything in. I really can.
People in glass houses like that Matt Lauer motherfucker. Katie Couric openly said the worst thing about Matt Lauer is he just always wanted to pinch my ass. He was just a sexual deviant. Or is that fake? Are they but all playing us? You know,
that seems to be a get out of jail card. That you know, it's a quick way of retiring. So I don't know. But like I said, I don't follow TV. Well, I don't really follow politics and media now, and the people in media, that seems to be the new politics. So I don't know. Got to stay away.
I'm chat with Gaia earlier, and I think Del Carr came in for a little bit earlier too. He was cracking out some great tunes. He was playing some Pink Floyd, like better than Floyd itself. It was so good. And we had Rochello in there playing the sitar? Oh, playing some Japanese music. Oh, man. That girl's a great chick, huh?
She is.
And we have some good fake artists here. And I wish they were in here and now. Can you invite them into the room, or are they all buggered off?
I think probably most people are probably listening live to you now, mate, so you can say hello to them yourself.
Ooh. Del, Outside Radio, good on you, man. Once you got the... once you've got your mixing desk right, yeah, your Pink Floyd perfect, you can come in and play a Floyd tune. And who else was there? Help me out. Who else was there? John Adams. John Adams was there. Yeah, he was being as
Mahatma
cool
Cole
as ever.
Was there.
Oh, Mahatma Code. Lovely, isn't he, Mahatma Code? He doesn't say much. He just pops in with the odd comment now and then.
Yeah, he kind of comes in with nuggets. Proper nuggets. Comes in with that, and he's like, yeah, boy.
Mahatma Coates, a big shout out to you, man. And I hope you all are having a great new year. It took me forever to fucking get this goddamn program working today, but there you go. Once you get it working, everyone's having a good time. So if you want to come in now, you can come in and say good day.
Yeah, and
we'll talk about whatever you want, as long as it's related to Fakeology. Isn't that right, Kenny?
I agree, mate. I'm going to go into room 11 and see if Del wants to pop in.
So, yeah. Napoleon Wilson, Danny's going to see if Del wants to come in. Let's hopefully Del will come in and say hi. And and apparently Tom Dalfour said he might be going to England very shortly, so going to Jolly Old. But anyway, I'll just go and have another smoke and put you guys on the loudspeaker, and if Del comes in, I'll say g'day for sure. At the moment, my other machine just keeps cracking.
Amen.
Welcome, Del Quirin. Welcome, my son. Welcome to the machine. It's all right. We know just where you've been. God, I love Pink Floyd. If Pink Floyd isn't my favorite band of all time. Rush is a very close second. I like Rush.
Infected Mushroom, and I like Jump Sign.
You're doing mushrooms tonight, are you?
No. Not tonight. No. Some years ago. I grew my own. I had my own grow kit in Holland. Mushrooms.
Not magic.
Yes, magic mushrooms.
Acid and gone on trips.
I've done acid once.
With trips?
Yeah, I've had great trips. Yeah.
What about ayahuasca? Have you done that?
No. This whole vomiting stuff that puts me off.
Good people that you can trust, and you do psychedelics like that. You've got to be with people you trust. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad trip. You just don't want that.
Every psychedelic, yeah, of course. But still, I mean, this somehow a normal thing to have vomiting. No, that's not really how I like to take drugs. Right? But
everything. I've done ecstasy, MDMA.
I mean, ecstasy, you know, MDMA is really the favorite.
You can only take it maybe once a week, maybe once. You don't want to take it too often because it empties.
I know. I mean, I'm from Holland, man. Come on. I mean, it's the country of ecstasy, right? I've done it 3 days in a row, and I was driving back to Germany for 250 kilometers, and I was sitting at my desk as a zombie. Really. And I, next day, I had to give
Are you driving the car on ecstasy?
Passenger. After, no, but I drove after it worked out, yeah.
You're still alive.
Yeah. But I gave a course the day after, and I was really like a zombie. I couldn't do anything.
What caused
this oil and the industry people looking up to you like you are the teacher? And I was like, guys, tomorrow we will see each other again.
Yeah. So good. It's like having a drink and having a hangover or something, and you have to teach a class, and you go, oh, you got a headache or something.
That is quite accepted, you know? I mean, everybody has drinks, so. But ecstasy is a different
thing.
That's
illegal. Yeah. Well, sometimes they mix ecstasy with ketamine and that horse tranquilizer.
I mean, what the fuck? I mean, how sick are you to take a horse tranquilizer as a drug? Come on, man. You've done it?
It dries you out. Oh, yeah, it dries you out. You can't speak, basically, because your mouth's so...
Yeah, I know. I've met people on ketamine. It's... What? I mean, they go completely crazy.
The cocaine, I mean, you must have done cocaine. I mean, cocaine is just so freaking awesome. But I wouldn't suggest
it. Yeah, you think so?
But
no, I think it's
boring. I love it.
Yeah. No, I think it's
boring to you.
Yeah, wow. I've done it 5 times. I mean, I live in Colombia, so I had to try it. It's on live stream, I know, but the first time I did it was on the fucking street in Colombia.
That's all right.
I was seeing people doing it, and I was saying to them, the equivalent of enjoy your meal, right? I mean, like, yeah.
You would have had it uncut, right? It would have been... Uncut.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. So, and did you have a big, massive, thick line? Like, whoosh. I did the biggest, fattest lines of when I was in Thailand. Oh man, I just had such a good time for my 40th birthday. Oh yeah, it's just
no. I think it's
wonderful.
I mean, after 20 minutes, you need another hit, and I don't like it. So that's why I prefer ecstasy, because you can go on all night, and then with just one or one half pill, and then you have a good time. Right?
Yeah. And you're loving to everyone. It's not a violent drug. We have a drug down here in Australia called ICE. ICE. It's a drug called ICE, which I think it's that Breaking Bad made
crystal meth. Really?
Yeah, we had in Australia a lot of it. And it makes people violent and not pleasant to be around.
With ecstasy, violence doesn't even enter your brain. It's just impossible to think about.
Exactly. Because it
works love. And
it works on the same...
Everyone else.
It works on the same principle of you having an orgasm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they call it ecstasy, right?
It's like having a 4-hour-long orgasm.
Yeah, you try and explain that to someone who hasn't done it. They won't know, but everyone has an orgasm, hopefully. Some women never had one in their lives.
I did it with my wife for the first good time. I mean, we did it before, but the first good time was on the biggest DJ party in the world. It's the Amsterdam dance event, Holland in Amsterdam. And we were at a hardstyle party. I mean, hardstyle, that's really funny because
there's only a couple of countries in the world that like hardstyle, and Holland and Australia are two of the top countries. You have Climax Australia there. Defcon Australia in Sydney. It's a big party in September in Australia, where you have Dutch. It's a Dutch party. It's hardstyle. But you have also Australian DJs, because they're also into hardstyle. And I was at that party with my wife, and at that time girlfriend. But although she is in Escobar, she never took any drug before knowing me, mind you. Then at that party, we took ecstasy. And then I said to her, yeah, listen, at the end of the party, there will be hardcore, and that is really too much for you. You wouldn't like it. And then when there was hardcore, she was like, no, I don't want to leave. No, I love it. She was dancing on her socks there on the party. Ecstasy is really the best drug there, I would say. I haven't done drugs for a while now. 2-3 years? But still. Okay, I've done some weed. Yeah, exactly. Mushrooms, the last time mushrooms was in a cave in Colombia. Main man. Wow. Stepping out of the cave, you see all the stars there. In the Andes, high up in the Andes. I knew I was tripping, but still. I mean, I talked to my friends and I said, look at the stars. And it was, wow, overwhelming. It's like what you have in Australia, in the countryside, you know, no light pollution. You have great star nights.
Everyone's quiet, including me. Rollo, are you here now, finally? I was trying to touch base with you earlier on, mate. Fair income and all the rest of it. I'd be bothered. True, fair income. You've probably gone to the jacks as well. I'm off the 33. I didn't realise we're...
Hi, this is Heroes from Tampa, Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.